16 in front of 6 o'clock and 57 degrees, and we just can't wait to get to the best 5 minutes of the day. So if you set your clock radio to 5:45 for this, we're sitting here early. And am I sounding old when I say clock radio, Jason Kins?
Yeah. I mean, do people actually use clock radio?
I do.
Do you really?
I do. Huh. Yeah. It stayed with me through the years.
Huh. I think everybody had the exact same clock radio years ago.
Mine is a dual set, so you can have two different times. But, you know, I think one side broke a while ago, so I can, can just set the one side. But, yeah, I still... So most people just have set their phones then?
Yeah, I think their phones. I use my watch. My watch wakes me up. It vibrates in the morning, and that wakes me up. But
yeah, so, okay. Yeah.
I mean, there's all sorts of options, but I think probably the most common now is the phone. That'd be actually a good survey question.
Yeah. What wakes you up?
What wakes you up in the morning? Roosters? Yeah. I don't know.
And if you wake up to WWIV, what time do you set your alarm for?
Right.
I mean, can you do that? Because I use my clock radio and it does go off. But, I mean, the question is, like, if you... A lot of times it just, what does it go off to? Like what noise? You know, can you set it to go off to a radio?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, for a long time, I actually woke up every morning to the song Worlds Apart by Jars of Clay.
Huh.
Yeah, that was my morning song every day. And just nice, gentle introduction.
Well, that will have to follow whatever song of love I have this morning.
Sure, that sounds good.
All right. It is Friday, and that's always good.
Yeah, I'm glad it's Friday.
Yeah.
I'm glad we are at the end of our week. So,
part of it for me, it's going to be a long Friday because high school football tonight, McDonald and Thorpe, 8-player action, 6:35 pregame on Max TV, while Caleb's in Hudson doing Chi High on Hudson.
Wow. Uh-huh. So you're going to be up late.
Yeah, kind of a late night, and then Evelyn asked me, she likes to go by Palace now, would you take me to... pick me up at 5:45 to get me to where I need to go to Hayward. At least she's not asking me to drive to Hayward. You know, I kind of volunteered, though. I'm like, I could take you. Because the older your kids get, I mean, whatever connection you can have with them is to be appreciated, you know?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
You said your daughter, Grace, the mother of little Rosie, is one of your best friends, so that's cool.
Yep. I that is a good thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well,
it's
I wanted to
having her around a lot, but...
Healing Within is the name of the new book from Chuck DeGroat, and talk to me about it.
Yeah, so good. So he's writing a lot about, he's using the Genesis story to kind of talk about the idea of self-understanding, connecting within ourselves. You know, it starts with this question, where are you? You know, and how often we look at that as we hear it as almost a critical thing, but where he's looking at it as God saying, hey, where are you? Focus on what's going on inside of you. And so he's really trying to look at this inner turmoil. How does what's happening inside of us affect how we interact with the world, with each other, with ourselves? And I had said, I think, that it's the most reminiscent of Larry's books that I've read. And I think it's probably because it reminds me a lot of Inside Out.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, he gets more into neuroscience than Larry ever did. But it's so far very good. I'm about 60 pages into it. And so, yeah.
And he's really good. I mean, I even think about the collection of books from Chuck DeGroat. I mean, in terms of loving difficult people or the wholeheartedness that impacted you so much. I mean, and his own journey is one to learn from. And in terms of even the way we would spiritual leaders would be instructed, right? I mean, his stuff is like you'll hear spiritual leader going through seminary or whatever training in terms of the training they didn't get.
Right. Yeah.
On their own inner life. Yeah.
And so he's actually a seminary professor, and a big part of that is really working on not only interacting well with people, but I think getting to know ourselves. And I'm glad Western Seminary has added that as a part of theirs.
All right, we're going to close head into the weekend at Acts 9:20-22.
And that says, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is indeed the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they asked. And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests? Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah.
And we go into the weekend with your devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved. My spirit's effect upon Saul was immediate and drastic. He went to the synagogues and proclaimed Jesus is the Son of God. Imagine this now. A message that opposed everything he had learned, believed, and built his life around. The people who heard Saul were dumbfounded because all they knew about him was that he wanted to destroy the way. They knew that Saul's purpose in coming to Damascus was to silence the message he was now boldly proclaiming. Saul kept learning more about Jesus and speaking his name. As he kept dialoguing with the Jews from Damascus, they were perplexed. I mean, I don't know. Is this like Bill Maher becoming Billy Graham or what?
I mean, I think that's, you know,
I'm trying to think of it. I know it is.
Yeah, you know, I think it's something where there's this, you know, complete 180. And then, you know, putting yourself in the position of the Jews, of course you'd be suspicious of what's happening around that. And, you know, I think it's easy to look and say, well, why didn't they just accept? But I think we all would be hesitant about listening because for so long he had been persecuting.
Yep, and, absolutely. Yeah. All right, hope to see you tomorrow.
Okay, talk to you.
Thank you. WWIB, the WIB Wake Up Show. We know about the Packer-Viking rivalry in western Wisconsin. I think when it comes to baseball, though, you know, things are more friendly. Brewers and Twins. You and I are Brewers fans, but maybe we'd root for the Twins second, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and again, as long as they're not playing the crew, I'll root for the Twins all day long. And probably because we used to get the Pioneer Press at home, so I would learn all about the T-Wolves and the Twins. It never made me into a Vikings fan. That never happened, but I did always enjoy the T-Wolves and the Twins, so you bet I'll root for them.
But it turns out the Minnesota Twins are for sale.
Yes, so the Pollad family that's owned the Twins since 1984, billionaire financier Carl Pollad and family, they are now saying, hey, we're going to explore the possibility of selling the team. I believe I read yesterday that he purchased the team for $44 million.
Yeah, wow.
Originally, which is not chump change.
Yeah.
They're probably worth quite a bit more by this point.
Quite a bit. Curtis won world championships in 87 and 91. Exciting series that went to the seventh and deciding game. And so here are some of the asking prices for other major league teams in recent years. For instance, I mean, the Dodgers, up there with the Yankees in terms of the most expensive, it sold 12 years ago, they did, for $2.15
billion. The Miami Marlins sold in 2017 for $1.17 billion.
All right, so the Washington Nationals, going back almost 20 years, in 2006, sold $450 million.
The Cubs sold in 2009 for $900 million.
And the Boston Red Sox way back in 2002. That's before they'd won that World Series in 04 and a couple of others, went for $660 million.
So I'm guessing that his $44 million investment will probably pay off since the last two teams to be sold went for well over $1 billion.
I mean, it's going to be crazy. So
I hope
you think
dies.
You and I pool our resources together? Nah, probably not.
Maybe not quite. We'll see. Well, we've got some great gift offers here during October Connect Month. And as always, during this 1 month per year, we're really asking you to reach out and let us know. When did you first start listening to WWIB? How long have you been listening? Is there a program or an artist that you especially enjoy? We love hearing that feedback all throughout the year, but especially during October, where we make a concerted effort to say, hey, we'd love to hear how this radio ministry is part of your life. And if you want to give back to the ministry, you're always welcome to do so, again, by stopping in by call or wwib.com/giving. And there you can check out the gift offers, the ministry's thanks back to you for your suggested, requested gift of $45 or more this month. There's a number of different items, but also one of them is a wonderful Christmas CD from Tasha Layton, and it's called This Is Christmas. And you might be saying, well, why are you playing Christmas music in October? And we always like to explain, I mean, for one thing, I like Christmas music all year long, but Christmas music here in October means it's a gift offer in October that you would get then in early November so that you could have it all throughout November and December for your more usual, more typical Christmas music playing season. And I mentioned I love Christmas music all throughout the year. To be honest, I keep a CD in my car of Christmas music. And I found so many times that when my stress and anxiety is highest, that Christmas music brings peace and brings calm. And it's not just because it's great music, but it's because it points me to the Savior. It points me to my hope. It grounds me when I'm blown so much by, again, the stress and the anxieties of life. And so when I'm struggling most, a lot of times if you turn my car on and you hear Christmas music, might mean that Caleb had a pretty rough day. But that Christmas music points me again to the one who is my hope. And so I want to read you just a few lyrics from this song from Tasha Layton called Comfort and Joy. Everybody's saying Merry Christmas. Everybody's smiling, singing happy songs. But this December, your world is unraveling and you don't feel like singing along. Friends are sending cards with warmest wishes, but you're feeling lonely like a winter wind. So take your heart back to the center of the season. There you see the gift that came to us in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ, he is heaven's love. Here at last, forever God with us. All our hope found in a baby joy. He knew we needed comfort and joy.
Everybody's saying Merry Christmas. Everybody's smiling, singing happy songs. But this December, your world is unraveling. And you don't feel like singing alone. Friends are sending cards with warmest wishes. But you're feeling lonely like a winter wind. So take your heart back to the center of the season. There you see the gift that came to us in Bethlehem. Painful are those holidays. Christmas shows that God cares for us deeply. The same boy in the manger holds you still today.
About 8 minutes before 8 o'clock, the WIB Wake Up Show here on WWIB. Caleb and Halvel with you. Our Friday morning tradition is to get you caught up on things you might have missed in the past week. News, sports, politics, pop culture. We aggregate all of that and bring it to you in a condensed, bite-sized fashion. We call it Headlines. And here we go.
And it's pretty much politics-free, which people might appreciate. A new survey finds that most Americans aren't concerned about the health problems that can come from poor posture while using smartphones.
That's because most Americans were too busy on their phones to pay attention to the survey question.
That's true.
The McDonald's McRib is expected to return for a limited time sometime this month or next.
Already? I just got finished digesting the one I ate last year.
It does take a while.
Japan is converting an old prison into a luxury hotel.
The complimentary robe is bright orange.
Attractive.
A man in Poland awoke at 5 a.m. to find a burglar in his house cooking breakfast.
Hello, I'd like to report a burglar in my kitchen. Could you send the police, but could you wait a few minutes until he's finished with my omelet?
It's a Denver one.
Scientists find people who cook at home eat healthier.
But they didn't factor in the pizza I order after burning dinner yet again.
Uh-huh.
In a new interview, an animal expert says that we are stressing cats out by expecting them to be affectionate and cuddly when they're independent and have their own lives to lead.
Are we talking about cats or teenagers?
Hmm.
And finally, the world record for correctly identifying the most ice cream flavors in 1 minute while blindfolded is 18.
Now, there's a world record that I wouldn't mind training for.
That's for sure.
Those are your headlines, and now you're all caught up. So maybe you've heard us talking about the kindness jar, and a lot of times we bring out this quote from Irish theologian Ian McLaren. You've probably heard it before, maybe attributed to someone else, but think about this. He said this, be kind. Be kind. For everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. So the kindness jar is something new that we're doing here at WWIB as we hear the tune Kindness from Stephen Curtis Chapman. It's something new. It's a joint effort between WWIB and our local business sponsors, but also between all of us and you. Using funds from our sponsors and from your generous donations, if you're moved to do so, we're going to be out and about in West Central Wisconsin each month, Lord willing, as long as the funds don't run out, doing random acts of kindness. The more you help us fill up the jar, the kindness jar, the more good can be done in the community. So stay tuned to our social media for more reports on this month's random acts of kindness, what we're doing this month, and the video, first video released yesterday, so the cat's kind of out of the bag. We're going out and paying for people's gas at the gas pump. We're surprising them and saying, hey, we want to take care of that today. We hand them a little sheet of paper about what the kindness jar is about and say, hey, we know the world sometimes can be a rough place, and we want to share kindness. We want to spread kindness and love. We want to echo God's great kindness toward us. The Kindness Jar is generously sponsored here in October by Footprints in Time Birth Center and Family Clinic, by Great Harvest Bread Company Eau Claire, the Medicine Shop of Chippewa Falls and Menominee, Glaze and Glass Creations of Chippewa Falls and Northwestern Bank. And you can help us out as well. Next month, our plan is, as long as there's enough funds in the jar, we'll be surprising strangers at the store and paying for their groceries. Now, we mentioned we were paying for people's gas on Monday, planning to do that again soon too, Lord willing. But Sam and I, in about an hour, gave out almost $300 worth of gas, surprising people at the pump. And, you know, mixed reactions, but it was really interesting. So I don't know for sure if this is the person, but there was one lady that was a little weirded out, to be honest. And we had on that sheet of paper left it directions saying, hey, if this encouraged you today, no pressure, but if this encouraged you today, would you consider leaving a voicemail about it on our listener line here at WWIB at 715-396-1670? And we got a voicemail, and again, I think from this lady that was a little weirded out by us. Here's what she said.
Hi, I received a donation from your the Kindness Jar, and I just wanted to tell you how wonderful that was because, you know, at first I thought you were going to ask for money, and then I felt really guilty because you were actually trying to help me. And so I just want to tell you how much I appreciated that and how it's great to see a little kindness, and that it made my day. And I think we need more of that in this world today with everything going on. So thank you so much. Bye now.
And I have to tell you, it made my day when we got that voicemail yesterday. And we're trying to make people's day. We are. We're trying to bring smiles, but we're trying to point towards something greater, right? Toward God's kindness. We love because he first loved us. And so we're asking you to take part in this. Thank you so much to Samuel from Rice Lake for a gift of $50 the other day for the kindness jar. I think actually Sam's the only one who's given so far. He gave that gift in honor of his grandma who passed away in 2007. He says she was always a giver. Thank you so much, Samuel from Rice Lake. Would you help us make next month's blessing as big as possible? You can add your contribution to the kindness jar right now at wwib.com/kindness if you'd like to help us. That's wwib.com/kindness. And you know what? Check out that video. There'll be more coming, but the first few people we surprised on Monday paying for their gas at the pump, again, trying to make their day, but there's a point and a purpose. And we hope that, again, in a world that a lot of times we as Christians, sometimes we don't do the greatest job in bringing honor to the name of Jesus. Sometimes it seems like maybe we dishonor it a lot with the way that we fight and with our unkindness. And so we hope in our small way here in our corner of the world, with the kindness jar, we can let the world know how much they're loved by Jesus Christ.
Well, there was a lot of great content from this week with Partner Pledge Day and the excitement there and the number of pledges. I think we had about 78 by the time we reached 9 o'clock. And also with your calls about how and when you started listening to WWIB. But there was one element that stood out from Partner Pledge Day on Wednesday that was defining in that day. And that makes up the best of the week. Paul is here from Willard, sitting in studio to unpack your testimony.
You know, I think of the song by Zach Williams, Looking for You. Trying to pack my testimony down to 10 minutes, I thought of that song. And I just thought about throughout my entire life, for 40-plus years, how I was just searching for purpose in a place in this world where I could feel that I was worth something. And searching through women and love and marriage. I went through stages of doing music, which put me into the bar scene pretty heavy. With that, started rubbing shoulders with motorcycle clubs, which I ultimately joined, which ultimately led into a lot of crime and anger and hate, a lot of drug use, the abuse of that lifestyle. And with my second wife that was with me through that period, that was a short-lived couple of years that we decided to get out of that lifestyle. But moving out of that lifestyle, had to substitute all these things with something. And I substituted it with drinking and money. I started a trucking company, and I was making really good money. But with that, I was gone all the time. And when I was home, I was drinking, which pretty much eventually just pushed my second wife away. After my second wife left, I dropped into a hole of depression and loss, and I pretty much gave up that purpose and that hope. My brother Lyle moved up from Milwaukee, and he worked for me as a dispatcher, and he was a drinker. And he had his own issues he was covering up with alcohol. But through that 5 years, we hit the bottle pretty hard. I couldn't deal with the loss. I couldn't deal with life. And as things progressed, the drinking got worse and worse and worse, to the point where I'd wake up in the morning shaking so bad that I couldn't even make a pot of coffee. I had to have a couple drinks in the morning just to steady my hands to pour a cup. My daughter started going to youth at Northridge and Marshfield, and she would consistently ask me to go to church, and I'd refuse because I was usually too drunk Sunday morning to even think about starting the car. But Easter 2021, she got a hold of me when I only had a couple drinks in me. And yes, I did go to church intoxicated, but they had a series called Hope of Heaven. And it intrigued me enough to make me want to continue to go to them four services. That fourth service, God had his hand in that whole weekend. That Saturday was the prom. We couldn't find a DJ for the kids because of COVID. So I drug my old DJ system out of the shed, and I agreed to do it. But the stipulation was, since I did become the town drunk, I had to do it sober. So that morning, I had a couple drinks left in my bottle. I finished that bottle, and I went and finished that prom sober. But by the time the prom was done that Saturday night, it was too late to buy liquor in Wisconsin. So God allowed me for the first time in my adult life to go to church sober that next morning. During the worship service of that morning, April 25th, 2021, the song House of Miracles. And in that song, the Holy Spirit took a hold of me and I just gave it all up. I just couldn't do it anymore. I tried everything in my own power to have some sort of sense of worth. There's a purpose in this life. And I just distinctly remember telling God, if you want this worthless drunk, you can have me. And a weight came off my back. A warmth filled my body. And I knew at that moment I was forgiven. And after 47 years of hell, I found my heaven. That next morning was the most profound part of this. I was sitting there drinking my cup of coffee, and I just looked at that cup in front of my face, and it was as steady as a priest. I realized at that moment that the day before I was forgiven, but I was also finally found through the healing of my drunkenness, my withdrawals completely gone. I have yet to this day, 3.5 years later, had a desire for the taste of alcohol. I finally, after 47 years of searching, found in that moment what I was searching for, a peace and love that you can only get through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
So powerful. It was Paul Wednesday morning on our Partner Pledge Day sharing that testimony. You can find it in the podcast for October 9th. But, you know, it says in Revelation that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much, Paul. And again, it was an abbreviated version of his testimony on the 29th at Pizza Ranch in Marshfield. He'll be giving the full testimony.